Troy Westwood, analyst now on TSN in Winnipeg, joins us. Troy, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, man, but I can't shake that music that was part of the intro. You coming back out of break. What in the world's that all about?
That's a brass bonanza, baby. Hartford Whalers. I love it.
Nice. It reminds me of old school porn, the stuff that I... incredible, that stuff.
Troy, the Bombers, obviously, last year, the worst team in the league. They got off to a great start. We're 6-3. Were they winning with smoke and mirrors? Or I look at their losses here, 5 in a row, you know, 2 losses, very close games to Saskatchewan, a tough one to Hamilton. They did get blown up by Ottawa. But what type of team do they have in Winnipeg?
Yeah, they were winning with smoke and mirrors. When they were sitting at 5-1 at one point in time, and they were, you know, if it was hockey and if you were studying advanced analytics and that sort of stuff, their Corsi would have been down in the low 40s, I think, sort of a situation. They were, you know, 3 victories where they lost the turnover battle, and I believe they've only won 3 of the turnover battles. They've tied one game, only won 3, and lost all the others up to this point in time. They were a couple of last-minute drives by Drew Willey, just pulling fires out of pulling rabbits out of hats, and you know, getting dominated in the sack allowed compared to the sacks got. They for sure were winning some games there that are real fortunate. And nobody out of that 3-15 year last year, no one expected or thought they'd maintain the winning percentage when they're at 5-1. And I think, you know, somewhere around 500, maybe closer to an 8-10 final tally sort of thing is what a lot of people projected coming into the season. So I think right around where they're at right now is what a lot of people thought that they would settle into.
Troy, Drew Willey early on, you know, I know Winnipeg fans were loving him. He showed some great poise. We've seen some more struggles from him, which is usual, I guess, for most young quarterbacks. What do you like best about his game, and what are the areas he needs to improve the most on?
Yeah, I think everybody here is still completely satisfied and happy with what we got in Drew Willey. His poise, right out of the gate, his first ever start was in Winnipeg when he was with Saskatchewan in the Banjo Bowl, and he ended up winning that game against the Bombers. His poise was noticeable right from the very get-go in that game, in training camp this year, when he was in preseason, and still to this day, the poise is something that you note with him. I think he's got a beautiful throwing motion. He's got a real nice arm. His intermediate passes, he throws with real sound velocity, you know, like a short pass. He doesn't try and gun it in and make it a difficult catch for the receiver. He's got nice touch on the ball, and he's able to go vertical down the field whenever necessary. He's got decent escapability. This entire offense and what the Bomber fans are dealing with, and quite frankly, what we've been dealing with for the last 3-4 years for sure, is we've had one of the worst O-lines here, and you just can't get things going. The Bombers can't establish a run game. They're dead last in the league in run. I think they average 74 yards or so a game. The combination of the worst run game in the league with allowing the most sacks, points, everything at the O-line, and Drew Willey's taken a lot of hits. He's running for his life, and they're having a heck of a time just establishing himself in a real basic way offensively, and it's putting it in an unfair amount of stress, really, with no run game on Drew Willey and trying to establish the passing game, and he's back there just dodging bullets left and right with guys coming through the gaps that are made available with the old line. So I think here we break down most of the games, you know, and what Drew Willey's contributing to them, and fans right across the board here, I think, still feel that we have something pretty special in Drew Willey.
Troy Westwood, analyst for the Bombers from TSN Radio in Winnipeg, joins us. They are in town Monday afternoon, 2:30 kickoff at Commonwealth, when they will retire Bill Stevenson and Heck Potche's, well, not retire, but put them up on the Wall of Honor, where very well deserved for them. Troy, you mentioned the running game. Nick Grisby early on was having a fantastic season. And, you know, his average is now down to about 4.6 yards. But any good running back, a lot of times, is really only as good as his offensive line. How would you rate the Bombers' O-line?
As the worst in the league, I would say. And because of that combination here, Grigsby's first game, the O-line came out and he had around 20 carries, 122 yards, and it was like, hallelujah, they found, and Drew Willey looked fantastic. Everything looked good. But they've just, as each game has gone by, the O-line's gotten worse. Joe Mack left an absolute nightmare here, the previous GM here, was as brutal and as negligent as you get. And they're still, this morning, we're still joking around about Joe Mack. When something bad happens in the city, people will call out, thanks, Joe Mack. Like, it was unreal. You're talking about an O-line here. We start three import or international O-linemen because there's such a dearth. There's no Canadian talent here. It's just remarkable. He lost Brendan Labatt because he didn't talk to him until early February of the year. He's going to become a free agent. We know the story well here through an agent that was involved in the entire process, basically just neglected a blue-chip O-lineman like that. So when you talk about how bad is the O-line, I think if you look at the fact they're dead last in the league in establishing the run, and you watch poor Nick Grigsby back there, and now it's going to be Paris Cotton this week. They're making a tiny little tweak, the only tweak they can, trying to do something for that run game, but it's not going to do anything. And Nick Grigsby's got nowhere to go when he's getting the ball handed off to him. Add that, couple that with the fact the Bombers have allowed 54 sacks and they're on pace to allow the most in franchise history. The combination of those two things, to me, those define your O-line. And there's all kinds of concern going forward. The Bombers this offseason, you know, they've got what we feel is a franchise quarterback. They have got to go out and be wildly aggressive with the free agent market. Ben Heenan is slotted to become a free agent right tackle for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. The Bombers have to go and overpay someone in the free agent market to do something to contribute to the Canadian talent here. The O-line is horrible here, and it's really holding back the team.
How can they improve it? They got some young guys coming?
Well, that's the one aspect of the last 4 years, the previous 4 years with Joe Mack. They weren't drafting any. It was a glaring weak spot, and Joe Mack wouldn't draft any Canadian O-linemen. They've got a couple of guys that are okay. Canadians are left guard. They got Chris Greaves in the middle, Steve Morley. Right guard, right tackle, left tackle right now are Americans. They're probably going to get a decent pick. I'm not sure. You know, there's a number of O-linemen available. They need to get kind of lucky. They've got a young guy in Mateus Gosin who will be ready next year, you think, either at center or guard, and that can push Morley maybe out to the right guard part. But like I was saying, they got to go aggressive, I think, after Ben Heenan if he becomes available as the right tackle, and then improve even their Americans. There's talk that they need to improve. They actually do need to improve, but there's talk they've been trying to trade Glenn January for the last little bit, but no one's been able to bite on him. He's a little bit old and beat up. You'll see. I think that if I remember correctly, Hamilton or Ottawa, who's last in the league in sacks, got six of them against Winnipeg last week. Edmonton's going to have a field day. You got, you know, Eddie Steele from Winnipeg here. You got a bunch of other guys that can really cause a lot of damage up front in your front seven. You guys will have a field day with this Bomber O line going forward.
Now, Odell Willis might have a big day, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and he won't. He's never all that inspired to play against Winnipeg, I'm sure, is he?
No, not really. He's normally pretty calm and composed about that. He never seems to hold a grudge at all. Troy Westwood joins us. Troy, I want to get your thoughts around the league. You look right now. Who do you think, you know, like, is Calgary clearly the best team in your mind, or because of John Cornish's health, does that leave them exposed as anyone else?
Well, I think Calgary for sure is the class of the league, but what we all know in the CFL when it comes to a one-game situation late in the year like that, and for sure just exactly where he's going to be at, I would suspect that they'll make darn sure that John Cornish will be good to go come playoff time. I do think there's a separation from Calgary to everybody else, and then in the West, you've got Edmonton's looking pretty solid, and Saskatchewan, depending on what's going on with Sinceri, Kerry Joseph, and their whole quarterback situation, those two teams, and Hamilton seems to be catching up a little bit as other teams maybe in the East with Toronto. But, you know, in the West, I think you got Calgary, sort of the class of the league, and then beneath them, maybe Edmonton, Saskatchewan, and I think BC's under the two of those teams, and Winnipeg somewhere beneath that. And then on the East, thankfully, I think for the rest of the league, they've been playing a little bit of catch-up here, but they've won seven of the last head-to-head matchups against the East, and we're seeing Hamilton surge a little bit, Toronto surge a little bit. Montreal seems to have found a starter in Crompton, and then Ottawa struggles. But you know what? I got a feeling Ottawa's going to go into BC and surprise them. We've seen BC struggle last few weeks here with Kevin Glenn, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if Ottawa under Henry Burse, if that offense keeps to catch fire, sort of what we saw last week. And the two games previous to that, they were really starting to gain some momentum. So there could be some upsets this week.
Troy, how do you evaluate the Edmonton Eskimos offense and their passing attack, which really hasn't got on, you know, on track all season long.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'd say we were looking at the stats today, and it's just amazing the dominance. As much as Solomon Aluminium is dominating things through tackles defensively, certainly Darius Bowman's doing that with receptions. I can't recall exactly, but 90-something receptions, and the next closest, I believe, is Clarence Denmark out of Winnipeg with 56. And we had the Darius Bowman for a little while here in Winnipeg, started his career in the CFL in Winnipeg. He's an absolute force and arguably the most dangerous or most gifted receiver out there. But after that, I believe Fred Stamps is next on your team. You guys got a lot of talent with the receivers. I'm not sure why Mike Riley's struggling to be able to pass the ball around and be a little bit more effective through the air. Certainly, he seems to be quarterback, part of that young new wave of quarterbacks that seems to have plenty of talent at it. And you guys certainly have a nice run game, whether it's Riley running the ball or White, or that I think combined your running backs are averaging over 7 yards a carry, which is amazing. So not sure why the struggle is there with the ball through the air, but wouldn't doubt it at all if Mike Riley was able to turn it around.
Suddenly, and your thoughts on Winnipeg choosing to go into the West rather than the East, where, you know, historically the West has been harder. How seriously was that debated in Winnipeg, Troy?
Well, I called it out the second it was up there. I couldn't believe the decision that they made. I know the last time the Bombers made the choice to leave when they were in the East, come back to the West, the league paid them $700,000 to do that. This time around, it was just a completely voluntary act. And I think the board here, along with the leadership of Wade Miller, they felt that they could reestablish some of the traditional Western rivalries, maybe sell more tickets, you know, get another game possibly against a team like Saskatchewan and that sort of thing. But ultimately, I think winning helps you to sell tickets. And certainly the Bombers would be in a much better place in the East right from the get-go this season. So it was a bold move by the organization, one I think that's going to take a long time to recover. And you say traditionally the West has been stronger. Certainly since I was a kid, like we're talking decades that the West overall has been stronger than the East. So it's a bold move. I think ultimately they did it to rekindle rivalry. But boy, you look at the situation in the East, and Henry Burris at 39 years old, Ricky Ray at 34 years old, Kolarov's coming into his own, and the situation Montreal, the up in the air after Anthony Cavillo and what appears to still be maybe the collapse of the Alouette Empire. You just look at what was available out East, and it's hard to imagine or believe that they did it voluntarily, but they did.
Yeah, it was a head-scratcher to me, and especially they didn't even get paid any money this time, as you mentioned, like last time, Troy. The Bombers, obviously, I don't think are going to be able to catch BC. If they do, they got to start winning now. Like they likely have to win three of the remaining four games, I would think, if they have any hopes of making the playoffs.
Yeah, the whole thing is right now they've got a 2-point. BC's up by 2 points on the Bombers, and the Bombers still have a home game against BC. If the Bombers win that game, they end up winning the season series against BC. Of course, would capture 2 points when the BC Lions wouldn't get those 2 points. So right now, they just need to maintain that 2-point differential that exists. Unfortunately, and part of the reason why I'm picking Ottawa to go into BC and win is that's one this weekend's game, right? So you look at that on the surface, Ottawa going into BC. Traditionally, Eastern teams don't fare too well out in the West Coast. If the BC Lions win this week, then it puts that much more importance for Winnipeg to go and beat Edmonton. Traditionally, a place in Commonwealth there, it's very difficult to go in and win a game. So the Bombers just need to maintain that two-point differential that exists right now, and we'll see what BC is able to how successful they're able to be over these last four games. But the Bombers games against Edmonton, BC, two against Calgary, that's their last four games. There's no chance in Hades they're going to win three out of four of those. They just need to hope to maintain that sort of 2-point cushion right now that exists between themselves and BC, and then win that home game against BC when it does pop up.
Troy, always good to talk football with you. I appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Take care, boys.